Book of Hosea, chapter 8. Chapter 7 and chapter 8, it's situation is like a patient now in the hospital. So the doctor trying to look at the what kind of a problem into the patients. So bring up all kinds of problems. First, the doctor have to find out all the problems, and also patients has to agree they have that kind of problems, and then they're willing to give themselves to the doctor to have a treatment. But Israelites, they didn't do it. So that was the problem. The chapter 8 is a continuation of the chapter 7. Bring up the discovering their sins. Yeah, we can see. If you look at the chapter 8, there, there's about five sins. Can find out more, but I draw the line. There's a five sins. First one is chapter 8, verse 1. Because they have transgressed my covenant. That's the first one. Let's look at the Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Exodus 19. Verse 5 and 6. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of a priest and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. And here the God says, if you indeed obey my voice and my commandments, then you shall be my own possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine. So this is a great blessing. Since you obey my word and my covenants, and then you shall be my own possession. Which is all the security in our life, all the our life, it's the hands of God. So since it become His own possession, that we really secure our life. But Israelites, they break the covenant. Covenant is it's precious. It is, what is a son and father's, son and parent, children and parents' relationships. How they build up the relationships by the. It's not with the covenant, right? Because you break my covenant, you no longer my son, and then my kids may complain then later. So when God expressed the way His love, you are my own children, means this much my love and affections onto you. And He mentioned about the covenant. It's usually when He mentioned about the covenant, He bring up the with the marriage relationships. Marriage relationship with a covenant, established by the covenant. So both sides, man and woman, they agree. They want to be faithful to each other, the both sides. You know, you never know the your spouse before. It's a total strangers before. Don't you think? You meet the total strangers, and then you invest your whole life to that person. Great investments. And also great risk too. But you know, once you get married in the church, it's less risk. small blessings because they understand the meaning of covenant in the Bible. It's amazing. You know, now out there, people, they do not understand clearly about the covenant, what the meaning of covenant. I like you, but then I say, some problems, and forget about it. And there's a lot of, you know, people out there, so I can choose one of them. But covenant is very, this is solemn swearing each other. I only, in my life, you are the only one in my life. That's, you know, that's a established covenant between husband and wife. But they break this covenant. When they have a God, but they look around, something they like it, something, you know, other man's there. It seems like other man is better, so they just go to other men. So they break the covenant. So covenant is a precious. When you, once you commit yourself, when you get married, you need this kind of commitment. From then on, fix my eyes onto this spouse only. There's no any other persons. For example, you have a wife, and there's something problems, something matter, and then your wife doesn't come to you, and then they go to somebody else's, always dealing with, you know, I have a problem this, I have something then this, and then husband, you stand there, you know, look at your wife, how do you feel? You spankered? You know, because you know the husband and wife relationship is very crucial. Anything the problems they have to solve together, those two. It's not once the out of the boundary then create the problems. This is a break the covenant actually. Have to faithful each other, these covenants. But Israelites they are unfaithful to their husbands. So they end up, they break the covenants. So covenant means we can understand as a relationship. Covenant itself equally the relationship. When we, how much we faithful to covenant, that means it tells how much the relationship is strong enough, you know, equally the same. That might be the formula. Second one, so there, verse 4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They set up the king, but not by me. Do you know the story, the 1 Samuel chapter 8, when Samuel, his sons, two sons, not faithful, not honest to his people. So Israel, of course, it's a part of the responsibility of Samuel and his two sons. But major problem is because Israelites, they asking for king to Samuel is not, they do not look at God, but they look at the man's way. So let's look at the 1 Samuel chapter 8. Samuel chapter 8. Verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. And they say to him, behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your way, your ways. Now appoint a king for us. This much is okay. Now appoint a king for us to judge us. The problem is the last portion, like all the nations. So when the Israelites ask for kings, it is reasonable because the Samuel now getting old and his two sons, not enough to help the lead their people. So the people now, they're asking for king, is asking for leaders. But their motivations came from their motivation is like all the nations. So they do not look at the God, but look at other people. We want to do the same way like other peoples. So their motivation was wrong. So end up this is it turned out to be their own disasters. In chapter 8, Hosea in now and here, this is received the consequence of this first Samuel chapter 8 verse 5. They asked for king, just like other nations. Now they receive the consequence here, Hosea chapter 8. And because now this is it received their own consequences. And the book of Jeremiah also, as they received the southern kingdom also received the consequences because they asked for king, for just like other people. But this is one of their sins. In our life also, we have to always be aware. And we do not looking for other people. We do not follow the other people's pattern of life. We do not. We follow the God's way of life. So we have to be clear about it. Otherwise, it turned to be the same problem that the Israelites had. And third one, chapter 4, chapter 8, verse 4, middle of the section says, with the silvers and gold, they have made idols for themselves. So they made idol for themselves. This is one of a foolish. Silver and gold make a ring for them to decorate. Why they make the idols? And that they might be cut off. So because they use the most precious stone, make idol for invite their destructions. Yeah, that's one of their sins. One, two, three. And then number 4 is verse 10. Even though they hire allies among the nations, now I will gather them up and they will begin to diminish because of the burden of the king of princes. So here that they hire allies among the nations. This is their sins. They supposed to rely on God, not that they rely on allies. So this is a fourth sin here in chapter 8. Sometimes in our life, we also rely on something else beside of God. We think in other things is more makes sense to rely on money, powers, our own intelligence. It's just natural, our natural tendency, our life. But God asks us to rely on Him only. But the Israelites, they rely on allies around his countries. They offer the 1,000 silver, but actually they just give it to them, but they come back later and destroy them. What a way of wasting of money. If they offer, this king offer 1,000 silver to God, maybe the story can be maybe totally different. But they offer others because rely on other people. And then fifth one, verse 11. Since Ephraim has a multiplying altars for sins. I think multiply altar is not a sin, but why a multiply altar, it becomes a sin. We have to think about it. What Israelites, they can worship in God, where they can worship in God? Supposed to. Where are they supposed to go to worship in God? In the Old Testament, three times, the male have to go to some place and they have to worship in God. Jerusalem. they should go to Jerusalem. Altar should be there. But they multiplied, which is a man's way, it's a man's idea, input in the man, you know, the God's way. So it created sin, which is for them, what they did. So here mentioned about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And when I look at this chapter, chapter 8, verse 7, this verse is a funny verse and also is scary also at the same time. Chapter 8, verse 7. For they saw the wind, and they reaped the whirlwind. Which one is stronger? Which one is more powerful? Whirlwind is more, looks more powerful and sounds more powerful. Is it? Yeah. So what they saw, yeah, usually the formula in a once you something you saw, they rip what you saw. Is that coming and returning back same thing? But here is not according to the natural law. Actually, the wind, they say they saw the wind and they ripped the wind. This is supposed to be. But here say they saw the wind and they ripped the real wind, which is a stronger one, which is a double portion of judgment. Since you saw this one, and the judgment will be double portion, which is a kind of idea we can see from here. Because of all these sins, we listed on the chapter 8, because of this kind of sins. And then there's a solution come out of the chapter 8. We can find out some solution how we can avoid, do not saw the wind so they reap the real winds. How we can avoid this ones. And not in the, it, this is, mine, where I just think of the chapter 8, verse 1. Put the trumpet to your lips. Put the trumpet to your lips. When I read the put the trumpet to your lips, it's in order to you to blow the trumpet, when you are in a tower, watchtowers, blow the trumpet. That you think about it, you using your imagination, you are in the watchtowers and blow the trumpet. You have to awake all the times. You have to ready to warn to the people. Now that much you have to alert your mind, your attitude. So Israelites, since the sin completely covered themselves, they are all the people spiritually, they're all sleeping. They cannot see it, they cannot feel it. So they have a great nation, but actually all of them sleeping. So chapter 8, verse 1, put the trumpet to your lips, is be a sober-minded, awaken your soul, ready to blow the trumpet. This is the attitude of Christian life. 21st century, we now here, and here's the second coming is closer. How we can avoid to not to commit this kind of sins, but at the same time, we can faithful to God, we can holding this covenant for the rest of our life. I think the first key is to ready to put the trumpet to our lips. And this is, I think we can continue to extend this understanding as preach the gospel, make the people to know. You know, church is if only we have only we our own self, and we never grow up. Of course, we grow up. You get married and you have children. Naturally, grow up. Two people later on, four people. And six people if you have four children. You know, you can grow up, but it's not in this. You know, out there is a lot of people. We have to save these souls. We have to warning them. If we more challenge our life to preach the gospel, it naturally, it returning back to us, our soul always be awakening also. So preaching the gospel is one of the key to avoid commit this kind of sins. sometimes we do not face the challenge. Then easily we like comfortably, you know, just sit there to enjoy ourselves, content ourselves. Well, this is just enough. Go to church and pray a little bit and work. You know, not much of difference. No kind of challenge in our life. Then maybe our faith also slowly coming down, maybe possibly. So put the trumpet to your lips. When this is a Christian's life. Hosea chapter 8 verse 2. This is the second solutions. They cry out to me. Israelites cry out. They not with their heart, but sometimes they cry out to God. We also cry out to God, but not with a true heart. When Elijah went up to Mount Carmel, he prayed 7 times. This is true prayer attitude, and cry out to God. During 2 weeks of NYTS, you put your heart, you pray to God. I'm sure sometimes it is a struggle. You know, sometimes physically you have a getting weaker. But you kneel down, pray to God. It is a struggle. So. But you have to overcome it. You have to commit yourself, continue to pray, that you can see the result. Yeah. Toward to God, we have to cry out to God from bottom of our heart. Yeah. You have to think about your the woman, Canaanite woman, so who has a daughter possessed at that time the demons. And as a mother, you know, how much she put her heart to ask for help to Jesus Christ. That heart, true heart. She knows that this man is different. So as a mom, as a mom to love her daughters, somebody have to help her. She knows she cannot help her own daughters because her power is limited. She loves her, but she cannot help her. Only one solution is to find out that this man is Jesus Christ. Holding her, cry out to her. This is true Christ. Sometimes we say we cry, but we do not truly cry out to God from our bottom of our heart. And true Christ, the way to avoid this kind of commission also. This is my reflections. In chapter 8, verse 4, this is the third one. They have a set up king, but not by me. They have appointed princes, but I did not know it. With their silver and gold, they have made idol for themselves, that they might be cut off. What is the verse 4 at the beginning? They have set up king, but not by me. Means you set up the king, but you never asked me. That's what it is. You know, if we are very smart enough, we do not ask to God. Sometimes, you know, if you are a capable person, many times you think you can handle it, then you do not ask. Even this is I think a kind of a part of a personal relationship. How we build up the personal relationship, and if you know surround you should ask first, and you do. You know, kind of understanding is very important. When we do some things, of course we can capable to do it, but we have to ask that person, acknowledged by him, by her, things like this. And husband and wife, you know, wife of course is helping the husband, everything's good, but somehow both sides have to agree each other to do it, even the little things. Then this relationship definitely help and build up to stronger. But then you know, when as a wife look at the husband is not that smart, but cannot, you know, refund it, cannot return it, right? So since you have to hold your husband for the rest of your life, then husband is not that smart, and I'm the smarter than husband,
I better take the leadership of the whole house, holding everything, and then just you do your ways. For example, you do it that way. It ruined the whole entire family then. It seems like a little things, but actually eventually, because God established the family not in that order, and not in that order. This is a mystery of a blessing of God. Once we establish the family, what is a true wisdom as a wife to support husbands? It's not because of the as a wife is lower than husbands, but because of this way to glorify God. If you will establish the family according to the God's way, it come back to the benefit to yourself. It's not somebody else's. So here, you think about it. God is a husband. Israelites is wife. But the wife, they doing whatever they like to do without asking for permission to husbands. This is what it meant. So as a husband, it's left out. And also feels it's a, since they can handle it, then I'll see how much you can do it in a kind of ways. So that was the problem. So we as a Christians, we as a wife of God, always be aware. Ask God first. Ask God first. And when the helping the kitchens, only a few people, and sometimes in a church, few guests come, like it's little meetings and things. I heard it. Some of the sisters or some of the team of the kitchens, they pray to God first. What they pray to God is, God, help me, let me cook the best I can make it for this way to treat them, it's a good meal to glorify God. And also, I do not waste any God's money, but to make the right amount. This is a little things. You just come to church, and your assignments, you go to kitchen, whatever you buy, they cook it and give it to it, I'm finished my duty. You can say that. But even the little things, you come to God, kneel down, pray to God, even the little things. I really touched it when I heard the stories. We can do that. Everything, it is the things that we have to pray to God. We have to ask God's acknowledge that we have to kneel down, pray first. Because God is our husband. Always, this is art of relationships. We can do this way. And then fourth one, Hosea chapter 8, verse 5. He has rejected your calf, O Samaria saint. My anger burn against them. Israelites, they constantly build this kind of a calf, golden calf and silver, whatever idol they made it. And this one constantly irritated God's angers because they constantly invite other men. Here's the other man, here's another one, here's another one. So it created God's anger. So one more, the solution I can, the way to we can faithful to God is really, really get rid of all the things that beside God from our heart. Make it simpler ourselves. Be like a child. Children, they're very simple-minded. They never look at other things. Only they look at mommy's eyes. Not usually daddy's eyes, usually mommy's eyes, kids. So as long as the mom's eyes contact to them, then they have no problem. Wife is, the father is a secondary. But anyway, but as a kid, as long as the parents give them, they have eye contact each other, then they just satisfy. They don't need gold. The one 3 years, 4 years old, they don't need gold. You give them a gold, then they later on play a little bit, throw it away. But they whom they follow, they follow their moms, constantly follow their mom, and look at the moms. This is Christian's life. Once, but later on you grow up, you know the value of gold, and then what you do, mom is a secondary matters, but the gold is better. Gold is better. So sometimes we knowledge is too good, too much, actually destroyed us. Knowledge, just like be like a simple, like a child in the sight of God, is a true blessing. So hopefully, so chapter 8, verse 7, it turned out to be not, it should not apply in our life. It's, for they saw the wind, but we can say, we do not saw the wind, and we do not reap the real wind. Hopefully this word turned to be like to us that way. You know, when you have experience, when you have a desk, and you have a lot of things on the desk, I don't know what kind of personality you are, but your things just toss in here and toss in there and toss in there, but end up you find out something very important. You know, you have to very update when you have to find it, but at that time you cannot find it. But later on, just do something and you find it. Oh my, this is what I need last week. You know, then it's troubles. Have you ever experienced? I do sometimes. But when is the most the frustration is when the credit card the due days you pass it, so they charge $35 the late charge. That really, really. You have to make orders. And also, things you don't need it, clear out. That's what we can understand here. God doesn't want us to make our life mess up. God wants us our life to clean out, to sort of make it sorted out, to make it in order. That's what God wants us to do it. So things that doesn't need it, get rid of it. So you think that later on, you earn a lot of money. Money, it bothers you, give it to me, okay? So what I'm talking about is things you think that this is bothers you. We need this kind of God. Otherwise, holding this one, holding that one. Have you ever experienced it? I see my kids. And when last time we went to Dallas, the second kid at first, they're trying to gather something and put it in the backpack and things. They put more than what they want, actually. So it fell, and then they need another one. So we say, no, you cannot bring this all. Everything has to be within this your backpack. Well, we say that. And later on, if you bring all this, I say goodbye, and we just go. So just take it out, and then things and they follow. And sometimes we carry more than what we need. Your kids, we can learn from the kids. They're simple, they're innocent, sometimes foolish too. We have to learn that. So, in Christian life, make ourselves lighter. Also, make our life to order. Cleanse things. So do not make a mistake like Israelites that make mistakes. We should not make the same mistake. Chapter 8, this verse. Chapter 8, verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. They are now among the nations, like a vessel in which no one delight. I thought about this one. You know, when you are... you are in the position there that no one like you. You go there, they say, treat you as a piece of garbage, and the other side also a piece of dirty pieces. So here and there. You think about your life. Israelites, they lost the nation for 2,000, or almost 2,000 years, we know. They scatter around all over the place. How much they suffer. You know, wherever they go, nobody like them. Well, they spread in Europe, nobody liked them. Even the Second World War, and the Germany trying to eliminate them. Of course, everything is came from God. But why they receive such kind of judgment? You know, consider, because they forsake God. Because they despise God. It end up they receive this kind of... So the verse 8, they deserve it. It's not what somebody else did it. Maybe we can say because, you know, God is cruel. No, because they deserve it, what they receive. Because it's not complaint to God. It's all came from them. Chapter 8, verse 9. And Israel, chapter 8, 9. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey all alone. Ephraim has higher lovers. Here described the donkeys, wild donkey. I don't know what wild donkey's characters, you know, can you guess wild donkeys? I never seen the wild donkeys. But I have noticed wild donkeys, sure, they cannot control, first of all. Donkeys are quite big, huh? And donkey is it's not domesticated in wild donkey. So you cannot control this donkey, huh? So think about this donkey. Then whatever they like to go, you cannot stop it. But we're talking about this. And then this one goes up to Assyria because they like to go. You know, this one goes like to Assyria. So God described Israel as a wild donkeys. They come. They bring the 1,000 silver to the Assyria. God, look at them. Oh, this is like wild donkeys. Actually think about God domesticate them. God training them, which is God domesticated. God trained to let them to worship in God according to the God's laws. This is a domesticate. Anyway, training them. So that's why. But Israelites, they are not trained. They're like wild donkeys. In our marriage also, because since I've looked at this verse, we should not be a wild donkey each other. When you get married, really remember, it can be wild donkey each other, then it's trouble. Always fight then. So it has to be well submissive donkey each other. Then they love each other. Otherwise they fight each other, Do not become like a wild donkey. Human nature is very interesting. Human nature has a very stubborn heart. Once you think it is right, that you do not compromise it. Not everybody. But our church sisters don't do that. They're not that kind of, our sister is very submissive, very nice sisters. Our brother also, they're very good brothers. What a bless our church, thank God. chapter 8, verse 11. Since Ephraim has multiplied altars for sin, they have become altar of sinning for him. Worshipping God is not a problem. Worshipping God is a sin. You know, when you worshipping God, but problem is they do not put the true heart into their worship. So it was a problem. I'm sure because you studied the King Saul. He waiting for the coming of which prophet is it? Huh? Oh, Samuel. Oh, yeah. How many days? Is it 6 days or 8 days in the week? Huh? Or 7 days. So he waited 7 days. What happened? Why he did it? He offered to God, right? But he can't make an excuse. I wait 7 days because he promised me 7 days, but he didn't show up. So I offered to God. It makes sense. But we have to look at his heart. He truly offered to God with a true heart of reliance, of trust in God. You know the content, you know that. At that time, Philistine come, attack them, and they don't know what to do. And the King Saul, their troop, the army scattered around. They're trying to hide themselves. He had to do something to bring gather this group them up to defense against the Philistines. So what he did, only using his own ideas, I have to just offer to God. But it's not truly offering God, but this is a political issue, and also this army, the way to bring them back to for his own issue, is his own issues. It's not God. So worshiping God is not solely for God's should be the ish in there, not ours. You know, sometimes you and I, when we're worshiping God on the Sabbath, you have to understand the speaker sometimes. Because I have experienced when I preach, sometimes the preaching is somehow preparation is okay, the delivery is okay, but sometimes not. The speaker is also a struggle too. Sometimes I do not know what I'm speaking on, way I'm speaking to, because I must be losing my own idea. There's quite struggle. Then my back knows, but you have to understand. Sometimes it happens, but you have to constantly pray for the speakers. And also, when you come to the Lord, when you come to worshiping God, it's not you something take it from there, but you actually offer there. The idea, you have to think about it. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites come to worshiping God and offering to God, it's not they come and take the meat out of the temple of God. They bring the animal to offer to God. That is the true understanding of worshiping God. So when we come to the Lord, we dedicate something to God. What is the most precious ones? Our heart. So here, Israel was chapter 8, verse 11. Maybe they built a lot of altars, but it is already problems. They have to go to Jerusalem. But another problem, beside this problem, is they do not worship God with the true their heart, with the spirit. So And also, let's look at chapter 8, verse 12. Though I wrote for him 10,000 pieces of my law, they are regarded as strange things. I wrote for him the 10,000 precepts of my laws. Yeah. God gave them a law. We can say God gave them a law. Law is precious, but they rejected the God's law. So which is they break the relationship. Word of God is precious. You can read the textbooks. When you take the class, you read the textbook very faithfully. But how much we can put our heart to read the Word of God? Think about you go to library. But when you go to the library every day, maybe you can bring the little Bible. Maybe you can read about half or one chapter first before you study. Maybe that might be a good idea to show the respect to God. Because once, later on, this is my experience. When you think that you can read the Bible later on, put the Bible reading to the secondary matters, and you do all the things later on, you're about to read the Bible, you're too tired. You have no time to even to meditate. Then, I better read the Bible tomorrow. Once tomorrow, it turned to be after tomorrow. And then after the week passed by, and the Saturday you go to church, how much I read the Bible? It's just few verses, maybe. Even sometimes not open the Bible, have you experienced? You read many chapters of textbook, but Bible just... Of course, if you go Wednesday night or Friday night service, at least you open the Bible, flip here, there a little bit. But truly, you read the Bible, really, cherish the Word of God. If you read the Bible gives you the wisdom. Why? The Word of God telling us what is our past, what is our present, what will come up to you in your future. It gives us directions. It's not, Bible is not a magic box. You know, sometimes, oh, I don't know what to do. Pew! And then you just, you know, water, pew, come up, and then, wow, this is the way I should go. No, Bible is not like this. Of course, you know, some of the new members had tried to do this way one or two times, but God said, oh, that's enough. One or two times may be enough, you know, God said, yeah. But what, truly the Bible is, if you read Bible, and you understand the persons, why this man was a successful life, what is his failures, and what kind of situation he situated, how he solved the problems, why God helped him, why God did not help him. You know, all kind of things come out from the Bible. And then this one gives us a bring up into the, as a formula to my life. I mentioned it when you take the test, you know, when you come up to your examinations in your test, see, there is a problems, and then you know the formula, then you solve the problems. Is that true? Yeah. But where it came from, this formula? It came from the Bible. Of course, sometimes we say, hey, Bible, my life situation like this. But Bible never tell me exactly what, you know, what I should do. Of course, Bible, my situation, King David's situation different. I'm not king. If I'm a king, maybe similar situation, but David is a king. Oh, the king has many wives. I don't have many wives. So situation is totally different, don't you think? And then we come up, but if you understand the word of God, can show us the formula why David make a successful life. We can tell the behinds. How God help him, why, things. And this bring up as a formula to your life, to apply to your life, to bring up and the question, you know, which is answer for your life. Through the prayer. Prayer can attach you with the word of God and bring up as a wisdom to come onto your life, to apply your life. Yeah. So word of God, do not put the word of God to the secondary, but the first priority. Chapter 8, verse 14. For Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. And Judah has multiplied fortified cities. But I will send the fire on its cities that it may consume its palatial dwelling. Here, think about Judah, they're trying to multiply, fortify city. Because men's way, they're trying to protect themselves. And they try to their own idea to help themselves, to survive them their way. But God says, "This I will send the fire on its city." You think you can protect yourself, but since I send the fire into your city, it may consume the whole things. So we cannot help ourselves. Maybe we can think about things that we can do, but we cannot. But we have to remember, Israel has forgotten his makers. Where we came from. God made us. We came from God. We have to acknowledge him. We have to understand. Always we have to remember. How we can remember God is our creator. Keep the Sabbath. Very simple. When you keep the Sabbath, means I respect his creations. You know, think about the order of the creations. And who asked us to rest on the seventh day? God asked us. And the seventh day, first from beginning to the end, whose orders? It's God's order. He made all this according to his specifications. And then he asked us to rest on the seventh day. What is it? Why we rest on the Sabbath? For the memory of what? Remember of his creations. If we keep the Sabbath, then we respect our creators. But simply it is. Keeping Sabbath is not one of the Ten Commandments anyways. Before that already, you know, this is a order of creations. So we do our best. Keep the Sabbath. You will see the blessing later on. If you put your heart to remember the day of Sabbath, God will bless your life. Do not Do not put this Sabbath as a secondary matter. You know, there's a lot of excuses you can make it. You do. But if you holding the Sabbath, you know, I just amazing that Jewish people, when they were in Olympic Games, once the game on Sabbath, they do not even go. Even it's a semi-final, no matter what, they don't go to play. So, their spirit, there's such a way of their spirit. You know, we need a spirit. If I say we don't have to, then it's a problem. So we have to. Yeah. Blessing is within the word of God. Okay, within the God, just like a creation of the Garden of Eden, it's for us. God wants us in His provisions, and under the precious His trees and His boundaries, we should stay there to receive the blessing of God. But the Israelites, they're willing to get away, get out of there, to receive the consequences. It's out of God's mercy once they get out. But God asked them to return back. We read many times, but they didn't return it. So they received the consequences. It's not because God is harsh, and it's not because God is, you know, the fearful God, because they deserve it. When I read the book of Hosea, I thought about, you know, some people say, God is, you know, cruel, you know, God is, how come the merciless God? No, God is a loving God. That's why God gave us His own boundary for us to save our life, to enjoy our life. But they are the one who get out. So they receive the consequence. It's not God Himself to receive. It's not fair to God receive the words that He is harsh. It is man's problems that they deserve it.